Sie hören SBS German.
Bei mir ist jetzt meine geschätzte Kollegin Jennifer Scherer. Hallo Jennifer.
Hallo Ben, vielen Dank für die Einladung.
Sehr, sehr gerne. Ich muss erst mal sagen, du verstehst sehr gut Deutsch. Sprechen tust du weniger gerne Deutsch.
Genau.
Was nicht ganz so liegt, aber du hast wirklich den deutsch klingendsten Namen, mit am deutsch klingendsten Namen, vielleicht nach Wolfgang Müller im gesamten SBS Radiokosmos hier. Wie kam es dazu? Deine Mama ist Deutsche? Ist Österreicher?
Ja. Nee, Deutsche. Ja, genau. So meine Mutter kommt aus Österreich und mein Vater kommt aus Deutschland. So, als ich ein Kind, sprach meine Mutter Steirisch mit mir. Aber als ich in der Schule kam, antworte ich nur noch auf Englisch.
Okay. Nur für die Hörerinnen und Hörer da draußen. Jennifer und ich haben schon gesagt, das wird vielleicht so ein bisschen Denglisch, was ja irgendwie ganz okay ist wahrscheinlich.
Wir können probieren.
Ist wirklich ein sensationelles Thema, wirklich wichtig, riesengroß. Die Wohnraumkrise, Housing Crisis hier in Australien natürlich riesig. Nicht nur hier, auch in Europa. Und es gibt ja so verschiedene Ideen, Modelle, Ideas, wie können wir jetzt damit umgehen? Was kann man anders machen? Und du warst einfach mal vor Ort in der wunderschönen Stadt Wien und hast dich dort umgeschaut, weil es da ein bisschen anders läuft. Also warum konnte jetzt diese Erfahrung in Wien, also erstmal, was hast du dir angeschaut? What did you look at? Wie konnte diese Erfahrung in Wien vielleicht ein bisschen Hoffnung geben?
Yeah.
What can you learn from that?
Yeah, I'll answer in English.
Yeah, go for it.
So, as we know, in our roles as journalists, many people here are doing it quite tough. And, you know, and we are in the midst of a housing crisis in Australia. So I think it is interesting to reference some stats. There's some new analysis from Contality, which provides property data. They say that rent in Australia has risen 2.5 times faster than wages over the past 5 years. And then another report by Priced Out showed that an Australian income of $70,000 would need to then spend about 52% of their income on rent.
Yeah.
So this is what sort of made us think, well, what else is out there in the world? And Vienna sort of offers an interesting example. As you said, it's a wonderful, magical city. It's got so much history, so it was beautiful to visit. But it was interesting to also learn about its history, 100 years of history of this sort of idea that rent is more of a social right than housing being a commodity. So in Vienna, the situation is that rent is capped at a much lower rate. And that could be, you know, an idea that would be life-changing for people. So, I mean, just in the documentary, we meet many people. And, you know, one of the people we meet very early on says that he pays 640 euros per month for a one-bedroom apartment in Vienna, which is a little over about 1,000 Australian dollars. We even meet someone who pays 350 euros per month rent in Vienna, which is just, you know, remarkable. That's about 570 Australian dollars. So, yeah, it all started with these housing policies, which were brought in after the First World War. But we can go into that history a little later.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Aber nochmal zurück zu Wien als so ein Countermodell, so ein Gegenmodell zu Australien, weil Australien ist ja wirklich ein stark marktorientierter Wohnungsmarkt, also super market-driven housing. Hier in Australien, in Sydney kennen wir das auch nur zu gut. Und dagegen dann Wien macht es ganz anders. What makes that system over there fundamentally different from our Australian system?
Yeah, so I guess as I briefly touched on before, the model that exists in Vienna sort of treats housing as a social right rather than an asset or a commodity. I guess broadly speaking, Australia, the model rests more on a private ownership model. And that's also something that's in the mindset that, you know, people want to own a home. Whereas in Vienna, the mindset is very different. So over about 100 years, the city of Vienna built this large base of social and affordable housing. And these rentals are non-expiring leases, which sort of provides people with a similar sense of comfortability or stability that many people believe that home ownership provides you. So in this sense, you know, these leases people can hold them for their whole lives. And then there's also a sense that you can pass this lease down to family members. The city also acquires land and then it sets that aside to build social housing. And the city says this is a way to keep up with demand because, as you can imagine, lots of people probably want in on this model.
Yeah. How many people are in that model?
50%.
50%.
Yeah. So 50% of people in Vienna live in some form of social housing. Mm. And the documentary really explores this, pretty remarkable statistic.
Yeah. In Sozialwohnungen oder sozialem Wohnraum in Wien sind ja nicht nur Menschen, die jetzt ein sehr, sehr geringes Einkommen haben. Also people living there, they're not only low-income families.
Mm-mm.
Erklär das doch mal ein bisschen, weil that's really interesting that it's not just low-income families. Social housing is way more than that, right?
Yeah, so I guess it is interesting that, this sector is a municipal sector, which is about 220,000 apartments. We learn from Rina Warnen, who managed this housing supply. They're Vienna's municipal housing company. And then there's a subsidized sector as well. And so to be eligible for both types of this social housing, you have to be over 18, you have to be an Austrian citizen or have equivalent status. You have to have lived in Vienna for 2 years and your income must be under a certain threshold. And going to your question, this monthly net income at the moment sits around 4,377 euros a month. So that's about 7,000 Australian dollars. Mm. So annually, that income threshold is 52,000 euros, thereabouts, and that equates to about 85,000 Australian dollars. So as you were saying, it's not only open to people with very low incomes. And the idea, we explore this in the documentary because it is an interesting question. Mm. And Vina Warnen, who, as I said, administers and manages these municipal dwellings, they say it's to encourage this, people to stay and grow within their apartments and not feel the need that they have to then leave. And so it sort of creates these neighbourhoods and communities. So that's why they say there's only one income check.
Yeah.
And as we said earlier, people then stay in these apartments for life. And as part of our research, you speak to so many people and, you kind of hear these stories of people that are on a traditionally high wage, say doctors, who are still living in their Gemeindebau, that they may have received maybe as a student, So you do have people that stay there.
Could a system like this be established today at all? Was meinst du?
Yeah, so I guess this is like experts that we've spoken to say the situation sort of works. When it is a combination of things, right? So it's a policy, it's housing supply. There are things that come into play here. Currently, Vienna says it's expanding its housing stock and it buys land to set aside for this stock. So, so the city adds thousands of apartments annually. I guess it is a combination of things that allows something like this to grow. Also, mindset of people is a big part of it.
Du warst jetzt in Wien, hast dir das angeschaut. Und jetzt lass uns mal nach Australien schauen. Welche Elemente von dem System in Wien könnte man theoretisch hier in Australien auch anwenden?
Yeah, studying Vienna's system for this documentary, I guess the biggest takeaway is, as you say, this mindset. The Viennese we spoke to were so proud of their social housing system and didn't feel the same pull to have to own their home.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big difference, I think. But that's also, as you say, it's only possible through a system that allows for that mindset to happen. I think it is a combination as well of rental control and as we sort of have spoken about this sort of combination of policy and supply. So I think we look at it as a unique example of what, of a system that functions in this way.
Okay, das klingt alles richtig toll, nach ganz viel Erfolg mit diesem Modell, aber es wird ja auch Kritik geben, also an dem Vienna System. Was habt ihr herausgefunden während eurer Reportage, während eurer Recherche? Wo sind so die Schwächen und die Herausforderungen, also weaknesses and challenges für dieses System?
Yeah, so in our documentary, we look at this site as well, and we meet with a housing not-for-profit called Jutbok House, which helps refugees and asylum seekers get access to accommodation. And they say to us in the documentary that they are not able to access the Gemeindebau system until they have gotten asylum status. And so advocates say this leaves people in limbo or at the whim of the private market that can be very expensive. And that then, you know, is, I think the rents are dependent on location as well. So yeah, that is an element that we do explore, and we meet people that are in this situation and I guess feel that they don't have access.
Weil das finde ich das Spannende an Wien. Auf der einen Seite hast du diesen Gemeindebau, das ist sehr günstig. Auf der anderen Seite kenne ich Leute, die nach Wien gezogen sind und mussten im privaten Wiener Markt sich Wohnungen mieten. Und dann ist Wien ja auch genauso teuer wie andere Städte auch. Also der private Markt ist ja brutal wirklich in Wien. Was sind so eure Erfahrungen gewesen? Habt ihr da auch nochmal ein bisschen genauer geschaut, wie hoch und wie teuer diese Mieten wirklich sind in Wien? Also günstig ist es ja nicht.
Yeah, we do explore this other side as well in the private market. And as you say, it can be very expensive. I think in comparison, the Gemeindebau is about 6.67 euros or thereabouts per square meter, whereas on the private market, it can be between 12 to 22 euros per square meter. Yeah. And that could grow as well, depending on location. And as you say, it is a private market. So therefore, it's
supply and demand.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly right. In conclusion, jetzt zum Abschluss. Wenn du sagen müsstest, was so die Hauptlehre aus Wien für andere Länder jetzt mit einer Wohnungskrise sind, wie Australien auch, was wäre so die Hauptlehre aus dem Ganzen?
Yeah, it is interesting meeting people who seem to have not had to worry so much about rental costs or pressures because of the system, which affords them, you know, to have that sort of freedom of mind is what one person told us. And it leaves them, they say, with money to spend on other parts of their life, quality of life, they say. So we meet people who say they use this to travel, pursue study, the arts. And I think, meeting people in this situation, it's an interesting example of how another part of the world looks at real estate and home ownership.
Und das ist wirklich was, wovon viele in Australien leider aktuell ja nur träumen können. With that kind of pressure that is on there, bank accounts every month or every week to pay the rent. Thank you so much for your time, and we're very excited to see the feature in the end.
Danke schön, Ben.
Sehr gerne. Danke, Jennifer. Ciao.
Lust auf weitere Interviews und Geschichten? Uns gibt's auf allen großen Podcast-Plattformen wie Apple, Google und Spotify.